Welcome to another edition of the Baseball America Prospect Handbook Podcast. J.J. Cooper, Josh Norris here. J.J. and the Bear.
Howdy.
We're working on developing that, you know. If you're not a child of the 70s like Josh, you may wonder, did you know about J.J. and B.J. and the Bear before you stumbled across that?
I think I had heard of it referenced on Family Guy, but when John said it to me, why is the bear a chimp? Why couldn't it just be a bear?
But before we start, we're going to talk prospects today, but we do want to remind you that don't forget BA's draft offer. Subscribe now and receive one extra month of access with any premium content subscription. Go to baseballamerica.com/subscribe. I had sold one of those this week because someone asked me a question. So is that even on a three-month subscription? And it is. Yes, if you pay for a three-month premium subscription, all the online content, which will get you the draft coverage, the international July 2 coverage, midseason prospect update and all that, you'll get 4 months. So that'll take you into league top 20s.
So that's J.J. Cooper working on salary and commission.
Yes. Hey, you know, but we're going to talk prospects today. That's what Josh and I do when we get together on these things. But before we start kind of talking about, we're going to talk a little about the hot sheet this week. The hot sheets of the first month and month and a half of the season. We're past a quarter way through the season. We're really rounding third on a third of the season at this point. You know, we're going to, before long, we'll be seeing all-star rosters. We're pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh, let the listeners know you're going to be busy coming up. So
yeah,
what are you going to see?
Well, tonight, after probably when you guys are hearing this podcast, I'll be en route to Charlotte to see Polanco versus the Charlotte Knights, and they've got some guys too.
Micah Johnson,
who you'll probably be seeing later today in the Scouts video view. So I'll see Polanco, and then after that game, I'm driving the hour to Hickory, and I'm going to get a room there, and we're going to watch Charleston versus Hickory the next couple nights. And they've got Aaron Judge and Miguel Andujar and Luis Severino and Tyler Wade, Gosuke Kato. And on the other side, they have Michael De Leon, the 17-year-old shortstop who's still there, Jairo Barras, Travis DeMeritt. Akeem Bostic versus Luis Severino is going to be Sunday's matchup. And there's lots of guys there. Then I come home for a couple days, and J.P. Crawford's going to be in town, and Raul Mondesi is going to be in town, and Joey Gallo's
hopefully
and Joey Gallo's
Faro
and all those guys are going to be in town.
The clerk and
yep, we get excited for closers here. And then on Wednesday morning, I leave for the Northeast back to where I came down here from, and I'll see Reading versus Trenton for 2 days, and then one night I'll see Lakewood versus Delmarva, and then 4 games in 3 days of Portland versus Trenton, which, if you followed along, Portland has
Mookie Betts. Okay, let's just stop. Mookie Betts.
It has Mookie Betts.
That's enough right there. You had me at Mookie Betts.
Well, if you have Mookie Betts, we can throw in Blake Swihart, Devin Marrero. I'm not sure I'm going to get to see Henry Owens. The way I've counted it so far, it looks like I miss him. Brian Johnson. And on the other side, you've got Peter O'Brien, who's coming for Gallo real quick. Slade Heathcott, Mason Williams, Tyler Austin, Gary Sanchez. Manny Benuelos may be pitching. He's supposed to, if everything goes well, I guess he pitches the day before I get to Reading. But
everything goes well for Manny.
No, right. He got shut down with a dead arm after coming back from Tommy John, but he's supposed to go 2 innings on Tuesday in Reading. And then,
So you're going to have a fun couple of weeks here. From the prospect standpoint.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a busy, fun couple weeks watching.
And it doesn't get slower after that because then we'll be into all-star games.
I'm going to be watching a lot of guys and writing a lot of stuff and taking a lot of video.
It'll be fun. But we did want to talk, so we had the hot sheet roll out today. By the time you are listening to this podcast, it'll be up and live, and you'll have enjoyed it, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
By then, you'll probably be able to read my chat. I'm chatting it 2:30 this afternoon. Podcast may be up by then. But we've seen some themes. This week it's a lot of Dodgers. We have Corey Seager, Alex Guerrero.
Well, most of Alex Guerrero.
Yeah, most of Alex Guerrero.
One part of him is decidedly not hot.
But that's just a terrible, terrible story. I mean, it's insane and interesting, but at the same time, dude lost part of his ear.
Dude lost part of his ear because he didn't cover second base. Usually that gets you a tongue lashing.
Maybe a fine in kangaroo court.
This is a tongue lashing to the extreme.
But Dodgers at the top, and as we've seems like every week, a lot of Astros in it too. This week we had Jake Buchanan, we had Teoscar Hernandez, we had Luis Cruz. I've been fascinated with the start that Teoscar Hernandez has had on a Lancaster team that is flat out loaded. He's probably having as good a season as anyone. Just an interesting guy. He's one of those, I like the description, I think John started using it a few years ago, the cheap five-tool guy.
Right.
And what that means is the guy who you really can't throw. It's not, people throw around five-tool a lot, and there aren't a whole lot of guys who have five-plus tools. Usually it's like, oh, he's a five-tool player, but yeah, the arms, you know, a little, you know, or, you know, but in Teoscar Hernandez's case, he's a cheap five-tool player in that there aren't a whole lot of 60s on that scouting report, but there are a whole lot of 50s. And really the thing I'm going to be interested to see with him is can he stick in center field? Still a lot of questions about whether he's going to be able to do that, but if he can, then you really got something. You know, now, again, obviously, that'll also be a little determined by they got a guy named Springer who could also play that position.
Yeah, right now they've got a guy there.
He's not playing it right now, though. He's playing
I thought he was DL'd right now, is he?
Yeah, but Dick Fowler has been the center fielder, you know, predominantly for the Astros this year.
Right, and we know in Houston the test, if you can play center field, is can you climb a hill and how fast?
But it's an interesting from the standpoint of we've seen some guys who have been on it regularly. Hello, Joey Gallo, who's pretty much set up roots on it. Pete O'Brien had a great week home run wise, but he's interesting in that he's not on it because I'll ask you, how much are you concerned that Peter O'Brien, as great as the home runs are, that's what he's doing right now and not much else?
Yeah, I mean, his slash line as of the other day was, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but the average is the same as the on base. So he hasn't drawn a walk yet in Double A. Granted, it's like 11 games. But
and granted, he has 7 home runs in those 11 games.
But by that same token, if you've hit 7 home runs in 11 games, at some point they're going to start pitching around you. You should probably get a walk at some point in there.
That's what stood out. We've seen Gallo multiple times this year already. And what's really stood out to him is that pitchers aren't pitching to him. And he is understanding that. And he's looking at pitches. You know, they're trying to get him to expand his zone. And he's not. He's generally keeping his zone. Okay, I'm not going to go chase to try to hit a home run. I'll take my walk. Thank you. I'll stand on first base.
I will say this, though, of Peter O'Brien. He'll be on hot sheet next week because he's going to play in Reading for 3 days. And to kind of describe how small Reading is, I watched Eduardo Nunez hit a home run off Pedro Martinez there. So he's going to hit some fly balls that are going to be home runs in Silos and also in Reading. So
the anti-Gallo home runs. The Gallo home runs are the ones that
they're missiles. They're launched by NORAD.
Part, yeah. This will be, you can just hit a fly ball, you know, and oh, okay, it's gone. But I thought to the guy who has not been on the hot sheet this year, who's back, and really like back to his rightful place, because I do believe that Javier Baez had squatter's rights to a spot on it from last year. Like if you maintain a spot for so long, we just hand you the deed to it. Javier Baez was on the hot sheet all of last year. This year, not so much. But hey, this week,
He had squatter's rights to the not hot section for a while.
Yeah, he had been pretty brutal. But how encouraged are you by this week? I'm personally still skeptical. He's got to be fine long term. I'm not ready to say this week means, hey,
it's over.
Yeah, because this week was a whole lot of home runs and not a whole lot of other things. So, I mean, he hit the ball really hard when he connected this week. But I still want to see him string together. For one, I want to see him not swing at everything for a week or two, and we haven't gotten there yet.
Right. I mean, there are so many mitigating factors here. He's 21 years old.
Yes.
He's in the Pacific Coast League. He's got a lot of time to work on this, and it's not as if there's a spot just, as you pointed out when I talked to you a few weeks ago about him, it's not like there's a spot just vacant for him. They've got a guy by the name of Castro there.
Who's playing well again.
He's playing well, and he's also making money.
And he's making money, and he's set up. He's got guaranteed money for a long, long time.
And hey, if you think, oh, we'll just slide him over to third base, a fellow by the name of Bryant kind of raises his hand and says hello. And he might be a corner guy, but they've also got Mike Olt, who they want to, I imagine they want to give some shots there because they traded for him.
Mike Olt, who's had a very similar approach to Javier Baez to the start of the year. Hit ball hard. If I don't hit ball hard, I walk back to the dugout.
Also, they have Christian Villanueva to Baez's, I guess, his right in Iowa.
I do think Baez, I'd still be interested to see long-term if he's going to end up at second base. I kind of, in some selfish way, hope not, because I'm a Arizmendi Alcantara fan.
I was going to say, are you a Darwin Barney believer?
No, I'm an Alcantara believer. But I do think that Alcantara, the reality is as much as I'm an Arizmendi Alcantara fan, Arizmendi Alcantara is not keeping Javier Baez out of the lineup. Javier Baez could keep Arizmendi Alcantara out of the lineup. It's a good problem the Cubs have. I mean, obviously, the bad blow for the Cubs this year has been C.J. Edwards.
Shoulder. Yep.
Still out. They need him. You know, if you told me that Aroides Vizcaíno would be healthy and C.J. Edwards would be hurt, I would say, well, I think we have a bad connection. I misunderstood you there. But, yes, that's what's happened so far.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fine. It's not good long-term, but it's not like they needed C.J. Edwards this year.
Right. You need to see him healthy to continue to develop.
Right.
Because they need pitching. You know, obviously, they may get a chance to – our newest mock has them, I believe, if I remember right, with Rodon in this newest mock.
I think so, yeah. And they have a guy by the name of Samardzija who's going to bring back some pieces at the deadline. And they've been pretty good at bringing back pieces.
At that point where he'll be – at that point, he'll be 0-9 with a 1.5 ERA, you know, and be talking to himself in the dugout about, you know, the how wins are meaningless, and I can't understand how I can never get a win considering I'm.
He wakes up and sees Hector Rondon in his nightmares.
That's a team that's still a little ways away, obviously. But Javier Baez has had a terrible start to the year. Chris Bryant's had an outstanding start to the year.
Awesome start to the year. Every day he's doing. The other day it was 3-for-3 with a double, a couple runs, a couple walks, stolen base. And it's like, oh, typical Chris Bryant day. Flip past it.
Yeah, it's almost like I don't even get him into roundup necessarily on those days. It's like, well, that's just what Chris Bryant does.
It gets to the point where you read about a guy so many times, you just start making up silly things, putting him in the roundup. If you've read the roundup, you see what happened when that happens.
I was going to say, that's what you like to do.
You get meters named after you.
But I guess along those lines, I mean, same thing with Polanco, who you're getting ready to see. What are you looking forward to, with Polanco? What is most excited, or are you most excited about seeing when you see him?
Aside from the player, when he goes up, I'm excited to hear people shut up for a while. I'm excited to stop hearing when's he going to come up. I mean, I've been hearing this guy, he's been getting better and better. I remember when I saw him in Double-A, I wanted to take video of him, but all he did was walk, and that's just not, thrilling video.
Right, but that's what I like about him, is that it's a very patient approach. It's funny, I know some Pirates fans are probably going to be like, are going to think, wow, he really is. Him and Starling Marte are so opposite of each other, it's kind of funny in some ways, because they have very distinctly different approaches. And in many ways, I think Polanco has a more advanced approach. But I would not be shocked when he comes up if he actually has some games where at some point before long after he's up, there's going to be Gregory, you need to be a little bit more aggressive at the plate, because he will stand there and look at pitch after pitch.
He'll watch his pitch pass.
Right. Sometimes. Because he's looking, he really does sort through. And sometimes you're going to get burned by that. Especially at the big league level, you may get burned by that a little bit because they're going to hit their target a little bit more often. But I envy you getting to watch him, I'll be interested to see when you see his BP, because I wonder if his BP normal is anything like the BP I saw at the Futures game last year, which his BP at the Futures game was unreal.
No, I saw his BP last year, and I don't remember him taking more than one ball out, so
I wouldn't. We saw a Joey Gallo BP this year that was remarkably sedate tame. And
I guess one of the guys who was there with me, with us, was saying Preston Beck took 8 balls out in BP, which, all right, didn't see that coming.
But Polanco, you're beside. I'm interested to see what you see with, you've seen Micah Johnson already this year, but
I've seen a week's worth of Micah Johnson in 3 at bats. I mean, I was telling you that I took 3 at bats from the open side and got 14 swings, which is amazing, and he fouled off like 12 of those pitches.
White Sox, funny. The White Sox right now have the worst record in the minors, as far as a combined minor league record. And I think it's the best White Sox farm system that they've had in a long time. Still not great, but Micah Johnson, You might get to see Eric Johnson too, right?
No, they shuffled that around. It looks like it's Felipe Paulino tonight.
Well, not the same.
No.
But Micah Johnson, we see Marcus Semien already come up. You know, Tim Anderson.
I love Tim Anderson.
This is an organization that is in better shape now as far as guys were coming up. Courtney Hawkins is the boom bust guy.
Well, when it's boom, it's real boom.
You know, Francelis Montas, who made this week's hot sheet.
That's one of those guys where you're going to see two relievers stuffed into one pant leg. Kind of like, Broxton.
Broxton, where you had Tim Collins, and I think it was Kelvin Herrera.
it was pretty funny. But he's a big boy, a big, big boy who had meniscus problems to start the year. He missed the first month, but yesterday he comes on and strikes out 11 in 8 innings of two-hit ball.
And he's got
dirty stuff.
Significant stuff.
Upper 90s fastball, a slider that flashes plus, or did we say plus or double plus?
I mean, I would say plus, not double.
I mean, there was a couple that were just bastard sliders.
Right, but I still wouldn't go, I mean, I'm not, yeah, I'll go plus on it, though. I mean, I'd think that, you know, and...
The changeup was not good, but...
I still think he's a reliever, I mean, my guess, but could be wrong.
I mean, he's got stuff right now, and that's a body that I said is big, and you would hope that could shoulder a workload. It was not only 8 innings last night, but it was 7 no-hit, I believe. So
we had a lot of those this week. We had Tyler Scalina have a no-hitter.
Co-no-hitter,
yeah. Yes. Jake Junis had 8 innings, no-hit innings for the Royals. Look at the last year that Christian Benford's another beneficiary of this. The Royals, the last year of the old draft system, if you were a projectable high school pitcher who was committed somewhere, you could get $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 from them in the 15th, 20th, 25th round. And Junis had a really bad year last year. Very nice bounce back this year.
We forgot the Mike Montgomery no-hitter.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks. I'm saying that just this past week.
This week, okay.
This is all this week.
We had a couple like almost no-hitters this week, and a co-no-hitter and a 4 home run game in the minors.
John Griffin, thumbs up.
And then he had the fifth one the next night.
Thumbs up. I mean, he's a 20. He didn't make the hot sheet today. Sorry, John Griffin.
You're 25.
He was a 25-year-old in Double A. We do those things kind of, you know.
But you got in the roundup.
Yes, got in the roundup. And I did think about, you know, when we had Blast from the Past, he would have been a Blast from the Past. We've pulled Blast from the Past to try to get hot sheet out a little quicker. But when we had Blast from the Past, he would have been a perfect Blast from the Past for this week. But it is an interesting week for the hot sheet. It's been an interesting first month and a half for prospects. We'll have a lot. Obviously, we're covering a lot of prospect stuff now, but we'll be even doing ramping up more. I've been doing some kind of TJ and injury stuff, but I'll be moving kind of back into the
world of the not
more
depressing.
Of the prospect realm. Yeah, we'll have up next week. I think it's next week. We'll have up the stuff that I've been doing for this issue about Tommy John, more Tommy John stuff and all. Just some interesting looks at kind of Tommy John race. We'll probably talk about that on the podcast next week. You know, looking at demographics of Tommy John, comparing high school to college pitchers and things like that.
And while we're while I'm out in Trenton, I'm going to get stuff for a Mookie Betts feature and a Peter O'Brien feature. And I think there'll be a couple neat aspects to the O'Brien feature if I can make them work.
I have faith in you, Bear. You're going to make them work.
Bear/chimp. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell the listeners about the Addison Maruzak story from last night, which he's a guy who the Yankees cut in spring training because they were going to send him to Double A, and I don't think that's where he belonged after so many years in that system. But he got his release, and then he signed with the Phillies pretty recently, and started the day yesterday in Double A. They had a matinee, and he played in right field. And then after the game, he was promoted to AAA.
Congratulations!
You're moving on up to AAA. You move on up to Lehigh Valley, just a couple hours away. And you're on the bench. And then the first baseman got ejected. So they moved Michael Franco to first and said, "Hey, Addison, you played right field this morning. How do you feel about third base right now?" And you know, there he is. He's in two games in 2 days in two cities with two teams. He's not quite Joel Youngblood, but I think in a couple aspects it's a little more impressive because he played on two different gloves.
Two different clubs at two different levels the same day.
He's a guy whose versatility is his calling card.
And willingness to play wherever they need him to play.
He's not only caught in the minor leagues, he's caught a runner stealing. He'll catch bullpens for you. I remember one week, the first week of one season, he played all four infield positions in the first week. Yeah, he's a versatile guy.
But it's funny, actually, along those lines, Tracy Ringlesby, I believe it was, had a story up at MLB.com this week about the Rockies' suspended game this week and just kind of had some fun with it looking back. I had not realized this, but if you look at, if you go to Baseball Reference, you look at Barry Bonds' game logs for his career, Barry Bonds' game logs look a little odd for his debut because it shows him debuting, I believe it's April 30th, 1987, and he actually didn't come up for another 30, 35 days. But he came in, they had a suspended game that actually played later that season. I think it played in August. And he came into that game, but because of the notion of how they score it, that game is an April 30th game. So Barry Bonds, I think, arrived in May of that year, but he ends up having a debut, or June of that year, and he had a debut in April because they had a suspended game. So that's another way, you know, kind of, a bizarre stat line.
I think Scott Boras had a lot of fun with the service time issues if you did that.
Hey, look, you should get an extra,
extra 2 months.
Yeah. But speaking of that,
Phil Irvin, too, this week, because he hit his second first home run last night.
Yes,
He had a first home run a couple weeks ago or whatever, maybe a week ago, but it was in the first inning, and that game was washed out because of rain, and so the home run didn't count. He hit it over the fence, but no, he didn't. And yesterday he hit his actual first home run.
Congratulations, Phil Irvin. You did it twice. Before we wrap up, we're going to make this one pretty quick because Josh does have, Bear has a long drive ahead of him, but we did want to talk, though, along those lines. We are coming up. You know, we've been doing the fantasy. We do the top 10 fantasy prospects every week. We do what to expect on guys coming up. We're going to be really busy on what to expect before long because
Super 2
is not far away. We're probably, no one knows exactly. Teams have to estimate it. But at this point, we're probably about 3 weeks away, if you're conservative, from the arrival of the time where you can bring a guy up and he will not qualify for Super 2. I'll just throw it out to you. Which guy are you most excited to see get the long-awaited call?
Polanco. I mean,
it's just simple.
Jeez.
Wait, so you don't think that they're going to keep him down there through July working on these things
No, I'm going to see him today is because he doesn't come into Durham until the third week of June, which it's very unlikely, unless we're all off on the estimates, that he's going to be there when Indy comes into Durham. So this is the last chance to see him in the minor leagues.
Yeah, for us. Yeah. So you got him. The interesting one is I know there's a lot of speculation that we will see Oscar Tavares at the same time. I'm not so sure on that.
Where?
I know there were some Cardinals fans who were upset that Shane Robinson came up this week. Shane Robinson came up because Shane Robinson can sit on your bench for a week and you don't feel bad about it. I understand that the Cardinals, need some kind of upgrades to their offense and all, but the problem is that they're not ready, understandably, to say, okay, we decided that Craig is a platoon player.
Right.
I don't think that they rightfully are thinking, okay, I don't think we think that Oscar Tavares can play center field every day, and I don't even know. They're not ready to say, okay, Peter Borjos is a fourth outfielder. There are a lot of reasons to think he may still be down there a little while longer. And the reality is that I'm not saying he's not a better prospect, because he is. If you look right now, Randall Grichuk is out-hitting him on the same lineup, and who is probably a little bit better center fielder than him. If you're talking about a guy who could play all three positions, better defender.
And he's already gotten the call once this year.
Briefly.
So there's that. If we're talking about fantasy, from a strictly selfish point of view, I'm hoping Jock Peterson gets a call at some point. I don't know if it'll be Super 2, but there's another. Where do you put him?
Yeah, I was going to say, that one right now, I don't think is anywhere near close, because
Puig is Spanish for Trout.
Yes.
Carl Crawford's owed a lot of money, so you got to play him. Matt Kemp is owed a lot of money, but you got to play him. And there's Andre Ethier somewhere in the picture, so he either needs a lot of injuries or a change of scenery, as I said in the roundup. He doesn't have a Super 2 problem. He has a Super 4 problem.
That's a good way to put it.
The Super 4 are Kemp, Crawford, Ethier, and Puig.
And then when you told me that line, which I like that line, but I did say it's more like a Super 1, maybe 2, and 2,
Puig is Super enough for 3.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, if you haven't seen it,
go see that catch that he made last night.
The catch he made last night is insane. Also, the MTV2 show.
I don't even know what it's called.
But they do. They had him go to a park with Fat Joe, and they had regular people celebrate things by doing bat flips, and that was pretty good, too.
They had also, he was playing video games the other day, and he celebrated something with a controller flip.
Yeah, well, he actually, watching Yasiel Puig celebrate Yasiel Puig on PlayStation, yes, hitting a game-winning homer is also...
Listening to it is amazing. He goes insane.
We're both Yasiel Puig fans. My take on this is that, okay, yes, there is sometimes that he does things that on the field as far as, like,
he did
sins
yesterday.
Of over-aggression, sins of, you know, throwing the wrong base, things like that. That part, I understand he still needs to refine. I am not one who thinks that he is showing up the game. I do not think that... It's the same. I saw a great story on MyKBO about this last week, talking about the Korean bat flips, and talking about how, you know, we do not put that everyone has to play the game the way that basically was played in the U.S. in 1955. In Korea, pitchers are not shown up by bat flips. Bat flips are part of the game, which, by the way, for me, and I'm not, I guess I'm not the most diehard traditionalist, but bat flips, yay. I enjoy seeing some emotion in the game.
And you're poking the bear here. You're going to want me to rant here, but I'm sorry. If you don't want the guy to flip the bat, don't give up the home run. I'm Bill Bell. I don't care. Ken Griffey Jr. stared and did that trot every time. Barry Bonds did that drop the bat and kind of look at it a lot. So, you know what? Nobody ever dared question them.
I was going to say, to me... That part, that's a good part of the game. The reality of it
is... Jose Lima time was awesome.
Yeah, I don't mind there being... Now, if you want to mock a guy who bat flips and, you know, it flies out to, you know, to it goes 350 feet, hey, mock on that because that's fun to watch and laugh at the other way.
Puig did it yesterday. Yeah. He bat flipped on a double. But
it was a double.
It was a double. He nailed it.
In Korea, they'll bat flip on fly balls that don't even make the outfielder take four steps back. Those are fun.
Or the one the other day where Will Myers, he bat flipped on a home run. He bat flips on every one of them, but it didn't leave. And then he got an inside the park home run.
That was a little while back, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a while ago. And Puig's done it where he bat flips and then, he has to get a triple. And that's pretty impressive that you like stay in the box for however long and then you still get a triple.
I remember a scout telling me after seeing him in AA, and he's saying, like, it's like I didn't get to see Bo Jackson when he was coming up, but now I think I know what it is with Puig. And that's still a pretty good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the body on him. I mean, if you want him, if Los Angeles ever gets a football team again, sign him up.
No, I don't want another hip injury. I want long-term Puig, not short-term Puig.
Here's a good question
Bad hip Puig.
Where would Yasiel Puig go in the NFL draft?
They don't go. He'd be a non-drafted free agent now.
I mean, he's a big boy. Yeah, aggression is no problem.
But, you know, not...
The sack dance would be amazing.
Really, they go... NFL goes more for the power forward who's 6'5" than the... haven't drafted a baseball player who doesn't play football in a long, long time. But, I wanted to keep this under 30 minutes because Josh...
I've got to write a script for Yasiel Puig, Video Scouts View.
And, you know, before he gets on the road... Thank you again for the download. We'll be back. It'll be either, I don't know if we'll be able to schedule one of us doing it next week.
Monday or Tuesday.
But if not, I might, you know, rope in John and me into one again, and maybe we can just yell at each other as you all seem to enjoy that last week, you know. But we do like each other. We just get, we're very passionate at times. But for Josh Norris, I'm JJ Cooper. Do want to remind you again, though, don't forget BA's draft offer. Subscribe now and receive one extra month of access with any premium content subscription. Go to baseballamerica.com/subscribe. For Josh, I'm JJ. Next time we'll talk, we'll have a whole lot of new video and prospects and all to talk about. Thanks again. See you next week.